Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Today is the anniversary of the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. So we felt that maybe we should discuss this pastime. It's a very nice pastime and it's an important pastime of Lord Chaitanya. So if that's okay with you all, let us do that. So first of all, you can repeat after me. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Yes, so now, first of all, a little background that the Jagannath Rathiatra Festival and Jagannath Purim, it involves this Gundicha temple. Actually, that the whole Rathiatra Festival is, you know, like a multifaceted event, you could say. It's not just a matter that they just go on Rathiatra and that's it. But they go on the Rathiatra from the Jagannath temple, the big temple, and then the procession goes down the main street, very big, big wide street in Puri, a few kilometers. And then straight at the end is another temple, which is called the Gundicha Temple. And what happens is that the procession happens from the big Jagannath Temple, and then they stop down in front of that Gundicha Temple. And usually people, the deities stay on the chariots, on the big carts. And people can climb onto the chariots and even touch the deities and have, you know, really very close, intimate darshan of Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. And then in the evening, they take the deities into the Gundicha temple. Into the Gundicha temple. And then they stay there for a week. And there's a program of worship goes on in that temple. And then after the week is over, they take the deities out again and they have another Rathiatra. Back. Return Rathiatra back to the Jagannath temple. This is what happens. And of course, generally ourselves, when we have Rathiatra, we don't have a return Rathiatra. You know, it's just a one-day event, basically. And tomorrow, I suppose, is basically that idea. We're going to take the deities around the central town, and it's nice. It's great. And then that's basically it. So in some of our temples, some of our yatras, they have big Rathiatra and then a program at the end in some festival site, and they may have a return Rathiatra after a few days. But anyway, this is the program in Jagannath Puri. And Lord Chaitanya was there for 18 years or so in Jagannath Puri. And every year he would participate in the Rath Yatra. And sometimes he would, because the thing is this, that the Jagannath deities, they come there, they stay there for a week, but the rest of the year, the place is basically empty, the Gundicha temple, at least that part where the Jagannath deities stand. So before the Rath Yatra, like the day, a couple of days before something like that, they have to clean the temple because it's just been neglected for a whole year. Dust and dirt accumulates, of course. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya, when he was down there in Jagannath Puri, then regularly, just before the Rath Yatra, a day, 2 days or so before, he would gather all his devotees and they would clean the Gundicha temple. So it was really ready and suitable for the arrival and the presence of Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra Devi because they're such sacred deities. So, there's a description in that Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 12, how one of those years, Lord Chaitanya gathered all the devotees, and then they gathered all the different cleaning utensils and paraphernalia. Actually, it had been arranged the day before, because Lord Chaitanya was staying in a small cottage, not really, just like a little hut, in the grounds of the house of Kashi Mishra. Kashi Mishra was the priest, the chief priest, of the king. And so he was a very prominent personality and very close to the king. So Lord Chaitanya asked Kashi Mishra, please arrange with the king that when we go to the Gundicha temple tomorrow, then there'll be plenty of pots, clay pots, for transporting water from the river, because there's a river nearby, but it's a little distance away, a few hundred meters, something like that. So we're going to have to transport the water, and then we need cloths and brooms, sweeping things, and so on and so forth. All these types of things. Because we are going to clean the Gundicha temple. Really clean it. So the next morning they all arrived there at the entrance to the Gundicha temple. And they got the people who run the temple, and then they got all the paraphernalia from them as arranged. And then they started. Wow, they really started. They had to make a human chain from that river with these big pots, you know, fair-sized clay pots. For the water. So they had this whole chain from the river, and the pots are just coming out. And all the devotees in the temple were ready. And the water came, and they just splashed the water around. So it was, wow, it was a real scene. And it's a bit of a long story, we'll go through it. Basically, but very interesting point, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he has drawn a comparison between the process of cleaning the Gundicha temple, which Lord Chaitanya undertook, and the process of cleaning our hearts. We've been, you know, that temple sits there for a year, unused, and plenty of dirt accumulates, and it's a big job cleaning it all. Our hearts, how much dirt is in our hearts? It has not just been 1 year. It may have been many lifetimes. We've been living here in this material world and just absorbed in material existence. And so much dirt has accumulated in our hearts in the forms of different material desires to enjoy this world and different conceptions. Who am I? What is my goal in life? And what is this world for? All these things are there. You know, what is this world for? It is for me to enjoy. So things like this have accumulated within the heart. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta then, he gives this description or draws this comparison between the cleaning of the Gundicha temple and what we have to do to clean our hearts. It's interesting. So we'll go through it all and point out the different, you know, how he brings out the different points. But to begin, let's read a verse which is actually from the 19th chapter of the Madhya Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita. But it mentions a number of the main contaminations within our hearts, which we desperately need to clean out. And through the process of Krishna consciousness, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, in the context of the cleaning of the Gundicha temple, then these things can be cleansed out. So let's just read this verse then. First of all, it's Madhya Lila 19, chapter 19, verse 159. Nishidacha kutinati jiva himsana labha puja pratishtadi yata upasaka gana. Translation. Some unnecessary creepers growing with the bhakti creeper are the creepers of behavior unacceptable for those trying to attain perfection. Diplomatic behavior, animal killing, mundane profiteering, mundane adoration, and mundane importance. All these are unwanted creepers which grow in the heart. To progress in Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya, well, to illustrate how it may work, Lord Chaitanya gives the example of the development of a creeper, a plant, the bhakti lata, the creeper of devotion. There's the well-known verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach, which means that the living entity has been wandering aimlessly in this material world for many lifetimes. But then, at some point, some fortunate living entity, by the mercy of Krishna, may get the association of a bona fide spiritual master. Then, by the combined mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, the creeper of devotional service, the seed of the creeper of devotional service may be planted in the heart of that devotee, new devotee. So these things mentioned here, being diplomatic, duplicitous, animal killing, trying to profit through Krishna consciousness, trying to get adoration and various others. These are like unwanted creepers that grow with the bhakti creeper in the heart, and they try to strangle it and stifle it and just take over. Okay. So anyway, there we were. Lord Chaitanya with all the devotees, and the pots of water start coming up, and the devotees take them and start throwing the water around and cleaning and cleaning and cleaning. It was really amazing. And Lord Chaitanya himself was cleaning really enthusiastically. And, you know, they get the water pots, throw the water around, and then send the pots back down the same line. So you've got the people in the line, and they have to deal with pots full of water coming up and empty pots coming back down. So the description is, sometimes the pots would collide, and then big smash and water everywhere. And as they were passing the pots of water, the pots up and down, they were chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And in the temple, where the other group of devotees are actually cleaning, when someone needed a pot of water, they would not call out, hey, give me a pot of water. They'd call out, Krishna, Krishna. And everyone would know, he needs a pot of water. So what would they call out? Krishna, Krishna. And someone else needed like a cloth, something like that. And he called out, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari, Hari!
Not like that. They probably wouldn't even notice if it was like that. They call out, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
And everyone would know, right, seems to be a cloth. So it was going on. It was really going on. And Lord Chaitanya, he really got into it. And in order to inspire the devotees and really get the devotees excited, he made a transcendental competition of it. This is a strategy which our acharyas use sometimes, that in order to really get the devotees really worked up so they're trying their best, and maybe even better than they thought they could try. Sometimes they make a competition. Prabhupada would make competitions with book distribution and other things too. Prabhupada used competition as a, well, transcendental competition, not material competition. Like, you know, I'm going to beat you. And if you beat me, I get so upset. I want revenge. Next time, I'll get you. Kick you in the ankle so you can't do anything. So Lord Chaitanya, he was going around seeing how everyone was doing. And so he checked. Over on one side there was Nikita, right? And check, Nikita, how are you doing, Nikita? How much dirt have you gathered? And then Nikita would show me. Or Chaitanya would say, oh, okay, okay. And then he'd come and check. Avaduta Chandra, how much dirt do you have? Oh, not bad, not bad. And then he'd find some other devotee, like Vrindavan Chandra, right? Vrindavan Chandra. You know, he was very nice. But somehow that day, he wasn't doing so much. He's getting some dirt, not too much. And Lord Chaitanya would come and see. And he'd think, how to get Vrindavan Chandra inspired. So Lord Chaitanya used transcendental sarcasm. He can say, oh, Vrindavan Chandra, look how much dirt you've got. How did you manage that? Look, you've got so much more than Avaduta Chandra, see? And Vrindavan Chandra would look and see that Avaduta Chandra really had a lot more. And then he'd feel embarrassed. And then he'd really work hard to get more dirt. So like this, it was going on. It was really going on. And there, they were cleaning, not just the floors. They were doing the walls. And not just the walls. They were doing the ceilings. Like really water everywhere. Somehow getting up there and cleaning. And Lord Chaitanya took it upon himself to clean the altar itself. In that Gundicha temple, it is like a simple altar. It's not, you know, complex like this. It's just a like a base with a slab of marble or something on top. And that's what it is. So Lord Chaitanya climbed onto that, the slab on the top, and he was cleaning the top where the deities were going to stand. And as he was cleaning, he was on his hands and knees, just crawling around cleaning. And his transcendental lotus feet sometimes would stick over the edge. So one devotee, very nonchalantly, like, oh, you're cleaning the temple. Oh, he's throwing the water around here and there. He came and with his pot, poured water all over Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. Like, you know, nothing special is happening here. And one other devotee, intelligent devotee, he climbed in and grabbed the water as it fell off Lord Chaitanya's feet. And he drank it. And Lord Chaitanya saw that. Hare Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya got really angry externally. And he said to that devotee, he said, Vrindavan Chandra. It's okay. Relax. What are you doing? What are you doing? How can you do this? Stop this. And Lord Chaitanya got so apparently externally angry, he just told him, you just get out of here. Just get out. And that poor devotee had to get out and just went outside. And Lord Chaitanya was so, you know, transcendentally upset that that devotee who had taken the water, who he threw out, was a Bengali. And he went and, Lord Chaitanya went and found Sarup Damodar Goswami, who was the leader of the Bengali devotees, and said to him, do you know what your Bengali devotee did? Oh, it's terrible, and he explained. He really got on the case of Sarup Damodar Goswami. But Chaitanya Charitamrita says that even though externally he showed anger, internally He was very happy. He appreciated that the devotee was appreciating him. So, like this, they cleaned and cleaned and cleaned until that Gundicha temple was just spotless, completely. The floor, the walls, the roof, everything was just glistening, effulgent practically. So then Lord Chaitanya had all the devotees pick up their piles, the different piles of dirt each one had gathered, took them outside and had them line them up. You know, all the piles of dirt, and the devotees had to stand by their pile. And Lord Chaitanya judged. And Lord Chaitanya, the interesting thing was, all those devotees worked really hard and they really got a lot of dirt. But Lord Chaitanya himself got more dirt than all the other devotees put together. Incredible. Completely amazing. So, and the temple was just in perfect condition. Then Lord Chaitanya did a very interesting thing, which really took the devotees by surprise. Now the temple is now cleaned, and Lord Chaitanya told them whoever gets the most dirt will get special Mahaprasada prize. Suddenly, Lord Chaitanya said, all right, we're going back into the temple again. We're going to clean it again. And the devotees thought, what? Clean it again? It's clean. It'd just be a waste of time. Yeah, let's go take prasad. But Lord Chaitanya said, no, let's go in and clean again. So in they went. And again, same program. Water everywhere and cleaning everything. And then, again, taking up their piles of dirt. Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki. The devotees got their piles of dirt again, took them out, and you know, again, Lord Chaitanya had more dirt than all of them put together, but, the second time, they collected more dirt than the first time. And they couldn't believe it. They could not believe it. Where did it come from? The temple was completely clean. So where did it come from? But it came from somewhere. Because there it was. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, actually Prabhupada refers to his Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's description in, it's particularly in one of the purports in the 12th chapter of the Majjha Lila, verse 135. And so Prabhupada is referring and quoting sometimes Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, his explanation. So his explanation is like this, basically, that the first cleaning of the temple, if we do a comparison between that and the progress we make, the stages we go through in cleaning our hearts. So he says that basically that first cleaning it was like cleaning our hearts up to the point where we can follow the regulative principles without it being, you know, like a real challenge. Sometimes we're just battling to follow a particular regulative principle. Of course, you know, initially it's like that. At least with so many devotees, they take to Krishna consciousness and they can appreciate. It's very wonderful and it's the best thing and I must do it and I must get into it. But for so many lifetimes, we've been living in this material world and we have so many accumulated habits and attachments, etc. And these things do not just go away, just like that. It's not so easy. So therefore, some devotees, when they take to Krishna consciousness, initially, they can't follow all the regulative principles. Even though they want to be devotees, basically, but some desires are there, and sometimes, somehow, the desire comes up, and the devotee gets at least temporarily defeated and breaks some regulative principle. These things happen. You know, initially, Prabhupada, when he first started the movement, 26 Second Avenue, New York, Prabhupada did not emphasize the regulative principles. In fact, initially, he didn't even tell the devotees that there were such things. And so the devotees were just sort of carrying on as before, but coming to the temple and chanting, and it was nice. However, one day, Srila Prabhupada was walking down 2nd Avenue, and a little way down was a type of one of these fish and chip or McDonald's type shops. Do you know what I mean? You know what McDonald's is? Oh dear. Shame. Anyway. So if any of you don't know, well done. Like a hamburger shop, so pretty bad. And in those days, you know, back in those days, they had not yet invented the veggie burger. So Prabhupada went walking down the street. He was walking down chanting. He passed that shop, this big window. And Prabhupada looked in. And there was a whole group of the young devotees with their burgers and not veggie burgers. The real thing. And they're looking out and they saw Prabhupada, and Prabhupada saw them, and they smiled at Prabhupada and waved. Hare Krishna, Swami, how nice to see them. Because they just didn't know. They just didn't know. They thought it's okay. Life is just going on. This, we do this sometimes. So later that day, when they came back, maybe in the evening, Prabhupada spoke to them. And Prabhupada said, you know, we devotees, generally we don't eat those things like that. Generally we only eat prasada. And the devotees said, oh, really? Okay, that's interesting. So, of course, the fact is that when people take to Krishna consciousness, the main thing is that they get into chanting and associating and reading the books and serving. That's the main thing. Because, and in due course, the regulative principles also. But, you know, it is a fact that following the regulative principles will not make you Krishna conscious. It will not cause Krishna consciousness to arise in your heart. It's just, you know, you have to follow them, because if you don't, it will really interfere with your development of Krishna consciousness. But if being vegetarian and not taking intoxication actually, you know, generated Krishna consciousness in the heart of a person, then all the monkeys would be very Krishna conscious, because they're all vegetarians and they don't take any intoxication at all. Nothing. Not even tea. Not even green tea. Sometimes devotees think green tea is okay. Because it's, you know, it's not tea, it's green tea. But unfortunately, green tea is tea. And it also has the same, you know, whatever it is, caffeine and stuff. So we don't drink green tea. Yeah. So it is important, it's essential, actually, to follow the regulative principles. But just, you know, refusing a cigarette if someone offers you one, is not going to make you feel an attraction to Krishna. But you have to stop doing those things, because if you do them and try to chant and try to be Krishna conscious, those things just make it much more difficult. Much more difficult. So, okay. So the first cleaning then, it is compared to, the first cleaning of that temple is compared to cleaning our hearts in the early stages of devotional service, up to the point where we can follow the regulative principles, you know, sort of like reasonably comfortably or something like that, without it being a struggle. All the time, or regularly a struggle. In other words, you kind of established somewhat in Krishna consciousness. And as you're probably aware, sometimes with some devotees, you know, it happens sometimes some devotees have a special goal in life. Their goal in life is to become initiated. I mean, first initiation. And when they get first initiation, they feel that's it. Done it. Success. I've made it. I've completed my mission in life. But when Lord Chaitanya told the devotees to go in and clean again, they got more dirt. And in terms of this, the example of cleaning the heart, it means that even when you're, say, initiated, because, you know, when you come to the point where you can follow the regulative principles and you're, you know, somewhat stable in your Krishna consciousness, at this point, a devotee may be initiated. At least it's fairly common that they can be initiated at that stage. So, Lord Chaitanya and the devotees, they got more dirt the second time. And that dirt, what it was made of, was more subtle contaminations. Not just the gross contaminations, just eating meat. It's just gross. It's just really gross. You know, smoking cigarettes. It's just so gross. It's just yuck. Gambling and illicit sex. It's just, you know, it's really This is not really like high level material stuff. It's really lower level. But there are much more subtle contaminations. And the second cleaning of the temple is compared to cleaning out more subtle contaminations from the heart. And of course, the thing is, with the second cleaning, they got more dirt. So the idea is that these more subtle contaminations, actually, they are worse and more powerful than just meat-eating, gambling, etc., the basic activities of the regulative principles. So, you know, we read that verse, and in the purport here, purport of Majjhima 12.135, Prabhupada refers to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and there are six, he points out six main subtle contaminations which the devotee has to cleanse out, which we need to cleanse out to really make substantial progress. So the first is kutinati, which is diplomacy or duplicity. Like, for example, let's give you an example. There are six of these. This is the first one mentioned here. Duplicity amongst the devotees. Duplicity in Krishna consciousness, or within the sort of parameters of Krishna consciousness. Here's an example, which sometimes may happen. Devotee comes to the temple for the Sunday program, and the devotee is, as they say, dressed to kill. Means they got really smart clothes on, really wonderful silk clothes, so nicely ironed. They look like real professional devotees, and they got their bead bag, and their hand is permanently in the bead bag, and they're chanting very seriously, and they got tilak, whoa, like I think we mentioned yesterday, tilak, which looks like it was painted on by Michelangelo, a real work of art. And they're walking around there like this. And the innocent devotees think, wow, we've got an advanced devotee here. But then as soon as the devotee goes home to their flat and they lock the door from the inside and they check to make sure nobody has come with them, then they turn on the hi-fi. And you know, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. I don't know who's top of the pops in Finland. I'm just too far out of touch. Who's top of the pops in Finland? Anyone know?
Nightwish.
Really? For those of you who didn't know, congratulations.
That was maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, see, he's an expert now. 2 or 3 years ago. Nightwish. So, devotee comes back, locks the door, checks in the cupboard to make sure no devotee is hiding there to spy. And on comes Nightwish. Yeah. This is duplicity. You understand this term, duplicity? Means two-faced. Two standards. One is apparently very Krishna conscious, but the other one, which is more real, is not very Krishna conscious at all. So anyway, that's one. Kutinati, duplicity. It's also translated as, what is it, diplomacy. Trying to just be sort of like flattering people and artificially being nice to them to impress them. So the next one is pratishtha, the desire for name and fame and for high position. Pratishtha. So devotee is practicing Krishna consciousness and sometimes does something right. Sometimes. And the devotees see. And they say, oh, that was a nice kirtan you led. Or something like that. Boy, was it you who made the halapat? Really? Oh, that was good. That was really nice. And did you distribute 50 books yesterday? Wow. Congratulations. And the devotee starts thinking, right. I am doing pretty good, actually. I'm making some progress around here. So, yeah, pratishtha, name and fame. I will become a famous devotee. And my name will be in the Sankirtan newsletter. And all the devotees around the world will read my name and think, who is this Krishna Das from Helsinki? But one day after you've had a big day, and they're reading the book distribution scores out in the morning program, somehow they missed your name. Your name was not included. And you realize, hey, they haven't read out my name. They haven't read out my score. Oh, crisis. Then the devotee just cannot function. Or like, devotee has big day out on the street. In England, back in the old days, we used to say about book distribution, 100 a day keeps Maya away. This was our slogan. So many of you did 100 books, or maybe even 150, and you thought, wow, that was really good. Devotees were praising you. So the next day, out you go on book distribution, and now you're thinking, right, yesterday was 150, today 200. Sankirtan newsletter, here I come. So, okay, there you are now. You approach the first person. Here, take a book. And he tells you, go jump in the lake. Oh, wow, surprise. And now you approach the next person. He tries to punch you. And you're like, yeah, what happened now? And then you approach the third person. He was someone who took a book yesterday. And now he gives you the book back. And he says, give me my money back. And take your book. And so now you have done minus one books today. You know, Krishna's clever. And Krishna's got a sense of humor too. And sometimes Krishna puts his devotees in such situations. If they get into name and fame and thinking they're important, I am the chief pot washer. So you want to look at the pots? You must ask me first. Let's see, okay. Well, Prabhupada says he's referring to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. As an example of this pratishtha, desire for name and fame, one may attempt to imitate Srila Haridas Thakur by living in a solitary place. One's real desire may be for name and fame. In other words, one thinks that fools will accept one to be as good as Haridas Thakur just because one lives in a solitary place. These are all material desires. Then the third one is Jiva Himsa, which Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, they translate as envy of other living entities. And Prabhupada says here, the word Jiva Himsa, envy of other living entities, actually means stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Yeah. If one stops preaching and simply sits down in a solitary place, he is engaging in material activity. Then the next one is Nishidachar, accepting things forbidden in scripture. Nishid achar. You know, sometimes when we travel around, and you may also, some of you travel around too, sometimes you may stay for a night or a couple of nights or whatever in the house of some devotee in some other part of the country or some family, friends of devotees, that sort of person. So, one thing, let me tell you a secret. One thing we do sometimes, when the householders are out, we look in the fridge to see what is there. And you'd be surprised, and actually you'd be shocked what we find there sometimes. But how many times have we found, you know, some sort of either sauce or pickle or some sort of commercial product like that, which has onions and garlic? It's really, yeah, these things happen. Even occasionally the odd egg. Hare Krishna. That's extreme. So this is all Nishidacha, accepting things which are forbidden in scripture. Like we're traveling around and we gotta buy something to eat. We gotta eat something. So we go to the supermarket and we see something that looks nice. Uh-huh. And rather than check the ingredients list carefully, we just sort of close our eyes and buy it. It's not so good. Well, it's not good. This is accepting things forbidden in scripture. Then, number five is karma. Desire for material gain through Krishna consciousness. Through Krishna consciousness. Occasionally, I don't know if you've ever had it here, but occasionally we get some devotee, when we ask who would like to go out on Sankirtan distributing books, every time some devotee volunteers and we think, wow, this is good. Someone really wants to do Sankirtan. But actually what he's doing, he's taking some of the money. You know, Sankirtan is the obvious way that you get your hands on money. So they're using Krishna consciousness for getting money, for material gain, or, you know, some nice congregation members come around to the temple and you say, oh, you know, by the way, I need a new, you know, MP3 player. And they may get you a new MP3 player. Anyway, it's not so nice trying to use Krishna consciousness and devotees for material gain. Or how about this? This is a good one. Sometimes you get some inner temple, some young male devotee, and whenever some young female guest comes, immediately he's there preaching to her. You know, preaching Krishna consciousness to the girls every time. And if you tell them, listen, you know, it may be better if the ladies preach to the new ladies. And you can preach to the men. And they'll tell you, Prabhu, I am preaching Krishna consciousness here. Don't criticize me. But this may be an example of using Krishna consciousness for some material gain or sense gratification. And then the last one is puja, hankering for popularity or even to be worshipped. Yeah. This is possible that beyond even just wanting some name and fame and some popularity in those terms, a devotee may actually want to be worshipped. And, you know, the classic example from the Bhagavatam is Lord Indra in the Govardhan Leela, that the Brijbasis didn't worship him, they cancelled the Indra Puja. And Lord Indra got so upset, extremely upset, to the point where he tried to kill Krishna, Balaram, Radharani, the cows, Mother Yashoda. Yeah. That you don't worship me? That is so bad, you should be killed. This is really, you're really in mire if you think like that. But somehow or other, sometimes devotees may actually want to be worshipped. So, a very important, interesting point to note is that in both the first and second cleanings, Lord Chaitanya got more dirt than all the others put together. So in terms of us cleaning our hearts, what this means really is that we have to do our best. We have to do our best to avoid becoming overwhelmed by material desire, you know, getting into meditations about the girls or the boys or, you know, different things like this. We have to stop it. And we have to try to be strong with ourselves. Sometimes devotees think that this may be artificial, that we should just let our hearts become purified through the process of devotional service, and then these tendencies will just go away, and in the meantime it's okay. Like, you know, somebody says something to me which I don't like, and I think, yes, I should punch him in the nose. And but then he thinks, well, you know, that may be an offense, possibly. so maybe I shouldn't punch him in the nose. But then he thinks, well, you know, I want to punch him in the nose. If I force myself not to, that's artificial. Later I'll get over it and I won't need to punch anyone in the nose. But now I really want to, so I will. Bang. So no, we have to try our best. And what is our best will vary from person to person, because we're all individuals. But we do have to try our best to avoid getting dragged down by our previous habits. And you know what a devotee told me a little while ago? He was South African Indian. And in his early days, he was like, you know, practically a world champion, really, marijuana smoker. Oh, just completely unbelievable. You know, we won't go into the subject too much, but the local currency in South Africa is called a rand. And today there's approximately 15 rands to a euro. And they used to sell their marijuana. A rand, a hand. What happened? They've got a huge sack. Put your hand in. However much you come out with, you pay the rand. Which is 1/15 of a euro. So anyway, sorry, we don't want to disturb anyone. But so this devotee, he was just a world-class specialist. He knew every brand and type from every country. And so he came up to me and said, you know, I just had a bad experience. Really bad experience. He used to use one of these pipes, you know, some sort of simple pipe. He said, I was walking in town, and I saw these two guys holding the pipe and smoking marijuana. In South Africa, they call it dakka. And this fellow was holding it in a special way. And I thought, wow. Maybe that was what went wrong. I was not holding the pipe the right way. a bad experience. Became bewildered for a little while. Yeah, so anyway. So the thing is, okay, that each time they cleaned, Lord Chaitanya got more dirt than everyone else put together. So this indicates that in the process of purification, of advancing in Krishna consciousness, the main thing really is the mercy of the Lord. But still we have to try our best. Because that's what all those devotees did. They really tried to get as much dirt as they could. Although despite their very best effort, they couldn't get anywhere near as much as what Lord Chaitanya got. So this is an important fact. Prabhupada would say, you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards you. And sometimes you take one step towards Krishna, he may take 20 steps towards you. And sometimes you may take a few steps away from Krishna, and he'll come chasing after you. This is Krishna. He cares. Just like you may have read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya was touring South India with a devotee named, I think, Krishna Das, something like that. And that Krishna Das, can you imagine, for 6 years, 24 hours a day, he was in the company of Lord Chaitanya himself. Can you imagine? Talk about good association. But one day, somehow or other, he met two gypsy girls. And the gypsies, I don't know if you have gypsies here, but they're kind of wild people and low class often. Oh yeah. And dishonest. They're real characters, the gypsies. You know, they have a bad reputation for good reason. So anyway, Krishna Das met these two gypsy girls. And he, you know, he's a Brahmin, Vaishnava, personal associate of Lord Chaitanya, personal assistant for years, but he became bewildered by these girls. And he just went and joined the gypsy parties. And Lord Chaitanya had to come in and just burst into the gypsy camp. There's a whole lot of these people. And he grabbed Krishna Das by his hair and dragged him out and saved him. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And at the end of all that, there's a verse saying, glorious is the master who will chase after his servant and drag him back by the hair to save him. Glorious is that master. That's Lord Chaitanya. So, yeah, you know, Lord Chaitanya or Krishna, the main thing is their mercy. But that doesn't mean that we should now sleep and tell, okay, Krishna, you know, when you've cleansed my heart, just wake me up. I'll be ready anytime. We have to try our best. Even though our best, you know, let's be frank. How frank can we be? Generally, our best is really not very good, actually. On an absolute scale, between zero to perfection, Krishna Prema, Mahabhava, Srimati Radharani, our best! You know, it leaves a lot to be desired. It's just a fact. But anyway, be that as it may, we should try our best. We have to try our best. And not be, you know, willing to be satisfied with some sort of half-hearted effort in Krishna consciousness. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he says that all these things like that duplicity, the desire for material gain through Krishna consciousness, wanting name and fame, all these different things, he says they are like grains of sand and little rocks, so to speak, which accumulate in the heart. And, you know, they're sharp and they're dirty and they're unpleasant. So when these things are in your heart, then Krishna will not come and sit in your heart. Of course, the super soul is there already, but that's another thing. That is really another thing. Super soul is just managing the conditioned souls, basically. Seeing they get their karma, basically. But now we're talking about Krishna. Krishna from Goloka Vrindavan coming and sitting in your heart and taking charge of your life. And he's ready to do it, and he wants to do it. But while he cannot sit in your heart, because it's just too, you know, sort of unpleasant and uncomfortable, well, then he won't come and sit in your hand. So we have to try to clean these things out. And the main thing is Krishna's mercy, but we have to try our best to clean our hearts. And then Krishna will. He'll come and sit in our hearts and guide us and reciprocate with us. And we'll be able to make progress very nicely. At the end of the purport, the question is raised, what are you meant to do, really, to do your best? And Prabhupada says that the first thing is, chanada pisanichena tarora pisan sahishnina amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Try to chant the holy names of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking yourself lower than the straw in the street, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others, more tolerant than a tree. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. And only in that state of mind will one be able to chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. Otherwise, it won't happen. It cannot happen. So, Hare Krishna. There you go. It's the cleansing, it's the anniversary of the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. Special mercy from Lord Chaitanya. Let's try to cleanse our hearts and really take shelter of the Lord as much as we can. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Any comment or question? Yes.
Guru Maharaj showed us this Trinadapi verse manifest in reality, like in one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada says something like that the sahajyas know that being humble is a symptom of advancement. So one may like act out being humble, but when one is off guard and when the real situation comes,
right,
then one is not really living by that.
Well, you have to try. But the thing is, because the main thing is the mercy in everything, including becoming humble. So it's a good idea to pray to the Lord that, my dear Lord, I know I'm very fallen, but the problem is I'm so fallen that I cannot see how fallen I am. And as a result, I think I'm more than what I really am. Although, you know, I know I'm fallen. I've been in this material world so long. I've done so much nonsense. So, my Lord, please be merciful and help me to see how fallen I am. Because when you see that, wow, I'm really fallen, I didn't realize, then in a natural way you'll feel humble. It's not just a matter of psyching yourself up. I'm the most fallen. You know, I read before I was a devotee, I read a book, a famous book by Dale Carnegie, one of the original sort of, I don't know what, like business guru type people. And in that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, he offers a practice, a sadhana, for people who have an inferiority complex. Inferiority complex means you really feel like you're unqualified and useless and hopeless, but in a very material way. And you've got no confidence, and you can't, you know, speak to people, that you want to hide from people. This is all part of an inferiority complex. So his sadhana that he proposes is you sit in front of the mirror, looking at your image in the mirror, looking at your face, and you say to yourself, you're great. You're fantastic. Actually, you're just the best person of all. And you do this for 20 minutes. And after you've done that, you know, for some weeks, you should now have confidence and be able to speak to anyone and not afraid of any situation. But it's highly materialistic. And probably, you know, as soon as they meet a person who says, actually, no, you're really puffed up. For a useless person, you're really puffed up. your bubble of false ego just suddenly pop, and you're back again with an inferiority. So, but we should pray like that to Krishna, and he'll help by giving us realizations about, you know, our conditioning and what we really are. And then when we start realizing, wow, you know, I have many shortcomings, then you can actually feel humble in a real way, because you've got something to feel humble about. Otherwise, if you don't know what's wrong with you, how are you going to feel humble? It's just, unless you just psych yourself up. So keep chanting, trying, and praying. Please help me to understand my position. And then Krishna is very kind, so he'll probably give you some powerful realizations pretty quickly of how useless you really are. And then after a while, you'll think, okay, Krishna, that's enough for the time being. When I need more, I'll let you know. Any other comment or question? Вопрос, пожалуйста. Yes? Да.
Гуру Махарадж, как избавиться от двуличия?
Как? What? Двуличие?
How to get rid of duplicity.
How duplicity? Wow. Yes. Well, you know, what we said was, what Prabhupada says is, the beginning of the process is to really try to chant in a humble state of mind. But, you know, we should understand, we should try to, like, convince ourselves or, yeah, that honesty is the best policy. If we are honest about our condition, which is not so good, then the devotees will feel kind that, oh, you know, he's not doing well. Let me encourage him. Let me associate with him. But if you're always coming on like you're Mr. Cool, you're orching kruton. Orching kruton. Chilling. And then they'll think, well, you know, he's okay. We don't need to try and help him. So that's humility and honesty is a great asset, because it inspires other devotees to be merciful to us and to try to help us. And we need a lot of help. Anyway, that's a thought. Спасибо. Пожалуйста. Yes.
Prabhu, you discussed the 6 points. So one is the Udishta, that is the establishment, fame. So big confusion is that the without material gaining, how lead our life? I mean that the economy of the universe under control by the material gaining. So always we say the without material gaining, but how can we lead our life without material gaining? Because we always say the spiritual and the material is the contradiction. But the how? But what the solution actually is?
Okay. How can we lead our lives in Krishna consciousness without material gain? Yeah, basically. Well, look, my own example may be a little extreme, but it's an example. I gave up working. I stopped working when I was 21. I have not worked for 41 years. Yes. And I have not been paid one paisa, ek rupee, nay. I have not starved to death yet, as you can probably tell. In fact, in Krishna consciousness, the problem is not so much how to avoid starving to death. The problem is too much prasad, and that's a fact. So the thing is, it's actually a point that Krishna looks after his devotees. Yes. Now, you might say that that's okay for someone like me, I'm a sannyasi, I live in a temple, and, I get looked after. But what about maybe you or someone else who's a married person? They have wife, they have some children, and they have a house, of course, and so on. So such a person cannot retire at 21 years of age. So what should he do? Well, what he should do is try to uphold, maintain the principle of simple living and high thinking, means that you may have to work, okay, but don't become one of these big career people. I will get promotion and then promotion, and I will earn bahut paisa, yes, material gain. Just be satisfied with a simple standard of living and try to have as much spare time as possible, even though a married person, for engaging in Krishna conscious activity. This is really the idea. To not be materially ambitious, to get rich, etc., get big house, and big motor car, and 2 motor cars, etc., etc. But to live a simple life, adequate, you don't have to live under the tree, but still a simple way of life. And if possible, as some devotees have done, get a situation where you can earn as much money as possible and do as little work as possible. I know a number of devotees who've developed their businesses in such a way. They work like 3 days, 2.5 days in a week, and the rest of the time they're doing devotional service, even though they've got families and houses and everything. I know a number of devotees like that. So if one tries to organize one's life intelligently and find some good way to make money without having to work too hard, And if one can be satisfied with a simple standard of living, then one can do very good. Okay.
So, Prabhu, then question coming. So, the whatever you are telling that, it's one is the desire and another is the greediness. So, we can give up the greediness, but we need the desire. So, that means, it means that I can be employee, but I cannot be employer. So, if I can be employer, then it is the much more competition, because there has not any task finishing point. So yeah. I am telling that the whole universe of economy or whole universe, the system, without material things, how can you give me example?
See,
yourself?
Yeah.
So
see, it's not like that. For the devotees, their perspective on the situation is very different. If they're working, if they're running a business even, they are not thinking how to get lots of money. It's just like Arjuna fighting in the battle. He was not thinking, yeah, we're going to win the kingdom and get lots of money and take control. He was doing it as a service to Krishna. That's what he was doing. Mama Nusmana Yudhya Cha. Krishna said, just think of me and do your duty of fighting. So, therefore, a devotee householder works or even may run a business, and his idea is simply, I have my family, I have to maintain them, they are devotees. It's my duty, it's a type of Vaishnava seva to maintain my family. So I must do it, but without having that material attachment at all. Just as a duty to the Lord and the devotees. It can be done. It can be done. And many devotees are doing it. And you know, like, maybe you've not heard these ideas so much before, but the more you get into Krishna consciousness, the more you spend time visiting the programs, if you get some japa mala, and if you start chanting regularly every day for an hour, 2 hours, as all the devotees do, then gradually it will become clear to you that you can do it too. You can work in the world, but not become captivated by the worldly situations and the worldly attitudes and state of mind. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai. His Holiness Srila Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj ki.
Jai.
ISKCON Helsinki Yatra ki.
Jai.
Thank you. Thank you.